Well, hello, my brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in today. Today we're going to be going into our last letter in the ABCs, the letter Z, and we're going to be talking about something called Zion, what the Bible talks about Zion. It's entitled Zion, Your Eternal Home. And if you're born again, you do not have any business setting up home on this planet or in this life and on this earth. You have no business putting up in store anything as far as thinking that you're going to hang on to it and it's going to be there for you when push comes to shove. You're not going to be here. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that's Apostle Paul or Luke in the New Testament, and he's telling us that we ain't got any business putting up. No matter the best place and the most enjoyable place, I don't know how many of you are travelers and where you've been, and I've seen some beautiful things of the Lord's creation here on earth, and it is beautiful, some of it, even in a fallen state. And when we look at God's, even just the smallest flower and just the way and looking at the animals and all the different things and that God has made, I don't know how anybody can say anything other than there's a wise creator that's beautiful, a God that's beautiful that wants us to give him praise and glory and admire him for who he is. And we do. And I don't know how anybody can look at these things and see just a taste of what the city that's going to be coming. The Bible says, for here have we no continuing city. So you have no business, none whatsoever, especially in your mind and in your heart. We talked about treasure chest on our last, in the letter Y, we talked about your treasure chest of your heart. For where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. You have no business having anything to do with this world being in your heart, and in your heart to where it's in a treasure chest, where it's a treasure to you, because this is not going to last. And you being a Christian, you should be in that frame of mind according to the Word of God. But what we're going to try and talk about is see what God says concerning Zion, your eternal home. Now, before we get going, I want to explain something about the Bible has to say about Zion. Zion means Bethlehem, Jerusalem. It means Jerusalem, and it's talking about Jerusalem, and it's talking, and in the Scriptures, it does not use the word Zion except for one time, and it's spelled S-I-O-N when it's talking about the New Jerusalem. Most of the time in the Scriptures when the word Zion, Z-I-O-N, is mentioned, it's in the Old Testament and it's talking about the city of the living God. It's talking about a literal city, a literal Savior, a literal government where the Lord comes down here and rules and reigns from Zion, Jerusalem. And that's what the word is used mostly for. And it's talking about that city, Jerusalem, and how wonderful it is. And all the prophets and in the Old Testament, in the Psalms and all throughout there, they praised Zion. And even when they went into exile, they were talking about how Zion was so beautiful and how they missed it. And they sung the songs of Zion, talking about Jerusalem. And this Zion is going to be eternal. It's going well until the Lord makes a new heaven and new earth. But as far as we know in the Scriptures, and as far as I know in the Scriptures, keeping this in an ABC type of way, I want to start this out to explain what we're talking about when we're talking about your eternal home. Your eternal home is not going to be in Jerusalem. That's for the Jews. Your eternal home is going to be in the New Jerusalem. And that's the city that's made by God. And in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about, John says that I seen a city coming down from heaven from God. And that's what we're talking about. When the Bible uses the word heaven, now we're talking about heaven. Now, we're going to get into that and talk about heaven first and what the Bible means by heaven. It does use the word heaven, and heaven is not an uncommon word to people on this earth today. People use that word every day in their everyday language. You know, heaven's sakes, boy, that divinity is head, that fudge is divine. It's heavenly, you know, and stuff like that. People don't mind using the word heaven, just like they don't mind using the word hell. It's a common word in language today, but they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to Scripture. Everybody's got an idea of heaven and what heaven is, and heaven, you know, even the very word whispers peace to our soul. When we think about heaven, we are thankful in our hearts that here we have no continuing city. Could you imagine having to live in this condition for eternity? Huh? Would you vote to live in this condition for eternity? Not me, brother. Not in this body. And not in this environment. And not in this, sin-stricken, cursed place that we live in. And the ground's cursed. The earth is cursed. We're cursed. Everything's got a curse on it. Why would you want to spend eternity here? Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We seek one to come. Heaven, but nevertheless, being saved and being born again, and knowing some of the promises of God about heaven and about what the Lord has said, what the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish. He not only came to accomplish something from the past and the present, but he came to accomplish something for the future too. The Lord lives in eternity. God lives in eternity. He does not live in time. We live in past, present, and future. The only reason the Lord speaks past, present, and future and time in the Scriptures is for our sake. The Lord doesn't care about time. He uses time. He lives in eternity. In eternity. But heaven, just even when we think about it, the very word, it whispers peace to our soul. Heaven. Heaven. Heaven's going to be wonderful. What a beautiful place heaven's going to be. Well, those are not just comments. That is truth if you believe your Bible. And that's what we're going to try to talk about is heaven. But the title of this is Sion. Sion, your eternal home. And when we speak of that, we're going to be talking about heaven. But let me get into some stuff. Let's get into this. And, you know, this old troubled world has nothing for the child of God. It brings no peace, no lasting joy. It don't bring any fellowship nothing but sorrow and heartache and disappointments and death. The only fellowship that a Christian has is among the brethren, and that's fizzling out. It's only among the Bible believers that really believe the Bible. Everybody else is joining together for other reasons. And you know, even death is a curse. And the Lord said the last enemy to be destroyed is going to be death. There'll be no more death. That's the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. And the Lord called it an enemy. And it is an enemy. I can't believe that an eternal God that loves his creation and is everything that the Scriptures describe of him could be happy about death. The Lord's not happy about death. He didn't bring death on. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, we read that, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And you know, heaven, but heaven. Now, it's no secret to anyone inhabiting these bodies and living on this cursed planet that there's no hope for what people are searching for here. That is, if they believe the truth of things, they believe the Bible. When you read the Bible, it doesn't tell you to put any confidence in this earth or anything here, because there is none. And searching for it's vanity. People spend their entire lives searching for what they have absolutely no idea what they're searching for. They just think they're going to round the corner and voila. And we're all guilty of that. But when we get in the scriptures and start talking about the future and start talking about what to look forward to, that clears it up for us. It doesn't tell us a whole lot about heaven, and I think the Lord done that on purpose. Of course he did. But what he did show to the Apostle Paul, Paul never got it off his mind. The evidence is all over the place, just as the scriptures say, yet people just keep on searching as if they're going around the corner, and there it is, the greener pastures. There's no such thing. It's not here. Well, if I win the lottery, no, that ain't going to do it. You ought to read some of the stories about what the lottery does to people's lives. There's no truth in the lottery. Well, if I do this or if I do that, no, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. The Lord said for us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We are supposed to be spiritual people doing spiritual work for a spiritual God. The Lord tells us many times not to set our affections on things here. It's going to burn. That is, if the moths and the corruption and the thieves don't get it first. Now, there's things that Jesus Christ said. These things that we're talking about is what Jesus Christ said. But he didn't just leave us with nothing. He gave us a place. A place. And that's what everybody's looking for, is their place. Where is my place? People commit suicide because they don't know where their place is in life. And because they don't have a place, they don't know who they are. Listen to what John says in chapter 14 and verse 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus Christ said this himself. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that is a tremendous, tremendous promise from the Lord. We can rest on that. He didn't tell us anything about heaven in there. He just said a place. And the Lord Jesus Christ did go, like he said. He died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. All the witnesses testify of it in that Bible that you have. You have written documentation in front of you to prove that Jesus Christ ascended back to the Father, and he said he's going to prepare a place for you. He said if it wasn't so, he would have told you it wasn't so. But he told you it is so. Now, he gave us a place to think about. He also promised that if we died, we would go there. And if we didn't die before he returned, he would come and get us and take us there. Hallelujah. The scriptures do not tell, they don't tell a great deal about heaven. But the Lord did give us enough that we could set our affections on. Now study about some of that stuff and what the Lord says about Zion, your eternal home. Now, as I said before in the scriptures, Zion is Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. It's the city of the living God. But it also, when we get into the New Testament and Jesus pays the debt for sinners and takes care of the big problem of sin, and the curse, and makes it available to everybody, and it goes through the transitions of salvation and goes through the book of Acts and gets into the New Testament, and it becomes the gospel of the grace of God, then everybody, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, can have eternal life by faith. By faith. By grace. Through faith, that is. So, knowing all that, what is heaven? What does the Bible? The Bible does use the word heaven. It uses the word heaven. But what is heaven? A lot of people use it loosely all over the place about what heaven is. And a lot of people don't know where heaven is or what heaven is. Or some people think that it's a place up there where clouds are, where little fat naked angels with harps are laying on all over the place. Some people think it's a golden place. I mean, just all kinds of ideas about heaven. What's the Bible say about what heaven is? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. First of all, the Bible says, we use the term of heaven so loosely that people won't get into the scriptures and find out what it really is. Because if people want to know what heaven was, they could get into the Bible and find out what it is. According to the Bible, there's actually three heavens. Did you know that? Yeah. The Bible talks about three heavens, and it talks about heavens in a plural sense in a lot of places, unashamedly. So let's talk about that. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8 and 20. The Bible says, "And God called the firmament heaven." Singular. "And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Singular. Okay, so according to the Bible, where the birds fly and the fowl flies, and the moving creature and everything between here, that wherever birds can fly, the Bible says, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So according to the scripture, scripturally, there is a place and an area that God describes as the firmament of heaven, heaven, wherever a bird can fly. So we would be right to say that the first heaven is from the surface of the earth all the way up as high as a bird can fly. The atmosphere that we exist in, where air is, where oxygen is, where birds can breathe. And the Bible calls that heaven. You say, "Well, man, we're messed up then if that's heaven." Well, wait a minute. Don't get ahead of yourself. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 25 says, "I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled." Notice it's plural there. And it talks about the birds in the heavens were fled. Okay? And then in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 12, "The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed on it." So see, we have scripture there that's telling us that in the scriptures, the heaven referred to that may be called the first heaven is where the birds fly and the fowls fly and where they can exist. Now that second verse in Jeremiah, what we was reading there, I believe there's some prophecy concerning when the Bible talks about birds in a lot of places, it talks about birds as evil spirits and as unclean spirits. And we know that no birds can fly out in space. So I believe it's talking about that right there when it's talking about that plural heaven, about the birds being able to fly in the heavens, plural. But as far as the heaven that we're, the heavens that we're talking about, the three different specific heavens that are described in the scriptures, we see those scriptures that we just read in Genesis and Jeremiah and Daniel, that the Bible says that the first heaven is the area that the birds can fly where there is air to breathe. And that would be from the surface of the earth. As I don't know how high it is, but I know the higher you get, the less oxygen you get. And I know Mount Everest up there, what's that, about 32,000 feet. And fellas that climb that thing, they have to have oxygen to get up there and get back down. And that's pushing the limit for them. So 30-something thousand feet, and all the airplanes have to be pressurized so that people can breathe and won't get hypoxia up there and not be able to breathe and pass out. I guess that's hypoxia. I think that's what, I'm not no doctor. If I said that wrong, don't laugh at me. But anyway, can't breathe. But, we see Genesis and Jeremiah and Daniel teach us, and you've seen it right there, heaven. The Bible used the word heaven, and it mentioned the fowls. The fowls. Even in creation, God called it a heaven where the fowls may fly. Where the fowls can get up and fly around in the firmament of heaven. Okay. Then there's another one. There's another heaven that's called the second heaven. Now listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 22, or not Jeremiah, excuse me, Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Singular. Now, we know there's no stars in the first heaven. There's no stars in the atmosphere where we can see them during the day. Isn't that interesting that you can see the first heaven during the day, and at night you can see the second heaven where the stars of heaven are? And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. The Bible says that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, of the heaven, singular. So we see that the Bible teaches us there's another heaven, singular, that has stars that are in it. And we know that is what we call space, right? So where the first heaven from the surface of the earth goes up and it ends, starts the second heaven where the stars are. Let me read you some more. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Their children also multipliedest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hadst promised to thy fathers, and they should go in to possess it." So we see even Nehemiah talks about it and calls heaven singular where the stars are. Now we know that there's no stars where the birds fly, and we know there's no birds where the stars are. So there's a separation there concerning singular heavens, yet two distinct heavens. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens," plural, "declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Notice there's the word heavens, plural. So we see that there's at least two heavens, because the Bible uses the word heavens, plural. And it talks about a place where there's stars are, that's singular in the heaven. Now that's what's good about your King James Bible, is those words and that punctuation and those S's and the plurals and the singulars and all that. When you study that Bible and you believe it, all that stuff just blends right together so beautiful. And it really does. But we see the first heaven. What's the first heaven? Well, in your own words, what would you call the first heaven? How would you describe it? Well, it's where the clouds are, right? It's where the beautiful sky is up there. It's where the oxygen is. It's where the birds fly. What about the second heaven? The second heaven is where you can see it at night, right? The second heaven's at night, where the stars are. And there's also what up there? What else is up there where the stars are? All the planets are up there. The sun is up there in the second heaven. The moon is in the second heaven. The second heaven. All right, that's not all. Let's move on just a little bit farther. The Bible says heavens, plural. That's at least two, right? But when we began this study, we said that the Bible declares that there are three heavens. Three heavens. The first heaven we've learned about, where the birds fly and where you can breathe and people can actually get up on high places and still breathe as long as they're not don't enter the second heaven. But we know that the astronauts, when they go up there, that they absolutely cannot breathe when they go up there. Why? Because it leaves out of the first heaven in the firmament where God intended for man to live. And when they get up there, they have to have the assistance. They have to carry whatever they're going to, if they're going to live, they have to carry what they need for life up there with them, or they'll croak. But then the Bible tells us another heaven. 1 Kings chapter 8, listen to this, in verse 27 and 30. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens. But will God dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Let me say that again. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of the people of Israel, or the people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Of course, we know that's the prayer for the Jews, that wherever they're at on earth in the Old Testament, that was a prayer. I think that was Solomon that prayed that. All the Jews, when they built that temple, they said that all the Jews, no matter where they're at, that if they would get on their knees and point themselves toward the temple in Jerusalem, that God would hear them and forgive them. Okay, but listen to the part of the verse that's talking about the heavens that he describes. Let me read it again. Are you ready? But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven, singular, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. So, according to Solomon there, he says that there is a place that God dwells, that, first of all, he said, the heaven, singular, and the heaven of heavens, a specific heaven that is included in plural heavens, more than one heaven. And then at the end of the verse, he said, thou in heaven thy dwelling place. So, according to the scriptures, there is a place, singular, called heaven, that is God's dwelling place, where God dwells. Let's read some more. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. This is Paul. And he's telling about himself. We believe the scriptures that, I mean, as far as what the scriptures teach and what we know about the scriptures, this is probably where Paul got stoned when he was in Lystra. And they took him out and stoned him and left him there for dead. And he's describing this. We believe this is the time that he got caught up to paradise before the Lord made him go back in his body and get back up. And all the disciples were standing around there looking at him while he was dead. And he just got up out of the rock pile and walked back into the city and started preaching again. But this is what is going on right here where Paul's describing something that happened to him. He said, I knew a man, probably speaking about himself, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. To the third heaven. Well, wait just a minute. Boy, we're getting some clarity now, ain't we? We have discovered that the Bible has taught us that there is a first heaven. And what's the first? Well, how does the Bible describe the first heaven, singular, where the fowls fly? Okay, and then it talked about another heaven included in the heavens, plural, which is at least two. And it had stars in it. And that was the second heaven. And then beyond that is something that Paul says, well, Solomon said first that the heaven and the heaven of heavens, probably talking about where God dwells, because at the end of the verse he says, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, that God has a dwelling place that's in a heaven, singular. And then 2 Corinthians, Paul testifies that he was caught up to the third heaven. Are you getting this picture? You take the earth and have a circle there, and you're looking at a picture. And then you have the round earth there, and then you go out, and you draw another circle around that. And you describe that where the birds are. And that's the first heaven. And then go on out and draw you another circle around that one. And that's where the stars are, and that's called the second heaven, where space is. And then go on out. And I don't think there's a limit to that. I think that goes out into eternity right there, which is called the third heaven. That's what Paul said he was caught up in. And in another place in the scriptures, which I'm probably getting ahead of myself, he refers to it as paradise. Paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. How about that? So we started out, the first thing that we want to, the first question we want to answer is, what is heaven? Well, heaven is not singular. Depends on which heaven you're talking about. Heaven is three distinct heavens. You would be scriptural to say, man, look at that bird flying around in heaven up there. You would be scriptural to say, well, the sun sure is pretty rising up in that heaven over there, isn't it? And look at that moon up there in heaven. You'd be talking about the second heaven. And then we're talking about your eternal home, where God dwells, where Paul got caught up to that he calls paradise in another place, which is the place where God is. And that's the third heaven. The Bible said that, the third heaven. So we see the Bible teaches there are three heavens. You get that? It's pretty neat, isn't it? Three heavens. Now, in this lesson, the heaven which we're going to refer to, remember what I told you about Zion. Zion in the scriptures usually talks about Jerusalem and talks about a literal city with a literal king, with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is ruling and reigning there. That's Zion, okay? All right, but it also talks, and you'll see it, one time, I believe it's only once, where it says Sion, but it's spelled S-I-O-N, and it's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, which is actually the city where we're going to be living, the saved, the bride of Christ. Yeah, stuff gets good. But we're going to keep it on an ABC level because that's about as high as I can get in my coconut. But, okay, so far what have we found out? We found out that there's three heavens. And the Bible, we can believe that because that's what the Bible teaches and what it says. No matter what anybody says. Okay? All right, what's the next thing we want to know? Well, what is Zion? Zion is another place for Jerusalem, another name for Jerusalem. We've seen that. Now, let's just nail it down with the scripture there. And it's also used in three different ways in the scriptures. Look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David." So we see that one name for Jerusalem, which is Zion, is referred to as the city of David. The city of David. And we know where David ruled. He ruled in Jerusalem. Okay? But it's called the city of David. Zion is called, another name for Zion is the city of David. Zion. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. Listen to this. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord..." What sets upon a mountain? Zion sets upon a mountain. When you read in the Bible about somebody going to Zion, they go up to Jerusalem. Up to Jerusalem. When they leave Jerusalem, they go down to wherever they're going. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." You getting all this? It's just sewing it together, isn't it? "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That all sounds real good, doesn't it? But what do we learn in there? We're talking about what is Zion. Zion has other names. First, we've seen in Samuel that it's called the city of David. Then in Isaiah, we see that Zion is Jerusalem, is the Jerusalem of the millennium. That's what Isaiah is talking about right there. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It's going to be up on the mountain, higher than the mountains. You're going to go up to Jerusalem, and everybody's going to go to the city of God, up to the house of the God of Jacob, the mountain of the Lord, and going to go up there and worship the Lord, and the law is going to come. That's going to be the capital of the earth, Jerusalem, during the millennial reign, the thousand-year physical, literal, visible reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Coming to you soon. Now, Revelation chapter 20, listen to this. And 1 through 7, it says, "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and found him and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years." But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. We see there, Zion is another name for Jerusalem. It's called the City of David. It is the Jerusalem. Zion is Jerusalem that's going to be the capital of the earth. Jerusalem of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, the Bible says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion." Now, we're talking about Zion being used three different ways. It's called the City of David. It's called Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of the millennium, up in the mountains, like Isaiah said, above all the mountains, the City of God, the mountain of God. It's called that. And then it's also used this way, and this is the one I was describing to you a while ago that's different than all the rest. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion," S-I-O-N, "and unto the city of the living God." Well, that sounds like what we've already read, huh? But listen to what else it says. "The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." There's another Jerusalem, but it's not called Jerusalem. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. So you see, the Bible does talk about two different cities there. And what the subject that we're on is what is heaven and your eternal home. Your eternal home. Now, we just got through talking about, now we're going to go, I'm not going to get way ahead of myself, that this earth, not to put no stock into this earth, because God's going to burn it. And he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But there's going to be 1,000 years that the Lord's going to reign on this earth before that happens. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule from Zion, which is Jerusalem, called the City of David. But there is also another Mount Zion. There's another Mount Zion. And we just read that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God." Sounds like we're talking about the city of David, but it's not. It's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels. The heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? So now we got some foundation about this place, our eternal home. Okay? And that's not all. In this lesson, the Zion, which we're referring to, is the last one that we just got through talking about. The new Jerusalem of heaven. The new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? All right. Well, that's pretty well got our introduction down. That's good, isn't it? It's good stuff. Makes you want to learn a little bit more about it, our eternal home, doesn't it? The Lord doesn't tell us everything. He said he went to prepare a place for us. He said, "And if he goes, he'll come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also." That's a promise to you. That's a promise to me, and I'm holding on to it. I do not want to stay here. I want to go be with the Lord, don't you? But we're going to stay in this body until the Lord says so, and either he'll give us leave of this body and let us come on home and be with him, or either our body will get old enough to where it's just going to fade away and it's going to go to sleep. The Bible describes as the body going to sleep. When the Bible talks about people sleeping in the Lord, it's talking about their bodies sleeping. There's no such thing as soul sleep. When your body goes to the grave, it's going to sleep. That's the way the Bible describes it. But that soul is going to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's only the body that sleeps. Okay? So, and the Lord said sleep. And even though we call it death, the Lord said it's sleeping because he's going to wake it up. And he's going to change it and give it back to you. And that's going to be wonderful, isn't it? So we've talked about what is heaven. Well, heaven is three different definitions in the scripture, even though it's called heavens, plural. There's three of them. The first one is where the birds fly, called the firmament of heaven. The second one is where the stars are, all the planets, and the Lord mentions that in other places. But where the planets and the sun and the moon and all that, you can see the second heaven at nighttime if there's no clouds in the sky. You can't see it during the daytime. You see the first heaven during the daytime. Isn't that interesting? And then we have the third heaven, and that is the abode of God. That's where the Lord lives. That's where the Lord abides. That's where it says that his dwelling is. The scriptures refer to this heaven as the abode of God. And what's it called? It's called the third heaven. The third heaven. And we talked about what were some names for Zion, the city of David, it's called. It's also called the Zion, the Jerusalem of the millennium, the city of the living God, where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years, and he's going to have a theocratic government where God is going to be in charge of everything. And it said there'll be no limit of his government. His government is going to continually grow. And he's going to rule and reign from there. And all the kings and everybody else is going to come there and give account to him. And everybody's going to come to give account to the Lord. And he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And we're going to help him. And we're the bride of the king, the bride of Christ. Isn't that neat? The Lord's got it all worked out for us. He's got it all worked out. So we're going to stop right there. And when we get into this next lesson, we're going to begin with something that's with a question there. What does death mean for the Christian? You say, well, why are we talking about death? Because death has got to do with going to death has got to do with heaven. Believe it or not, death is going to be around the issue of heaven. So you'll understand when we just had a little piece of it a while ago when Paul was talking about it. He said that whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. He felt like he was in his body because, I mean, there was no change to him. That's why he had the confusion about it. He felt like he was in his body, but he looked down and he couldn't see nothing. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. And then when God put him back in that body and he got up off that rock pile, he knew he was back in that body. They done beat his brains out with them rocks, and he got right back up and went in there in the town of Lystra there and just preached. And I bet those people, I bet they run home and hid in the closet, man. But just all kinds of stuff that Paul went through. Bless his heart. He's a wonderful, wonderful example of that's why the Lord picked him to write 13 of them books for us, and to bring in the New Covenant and the New Testament, and even though all the apostles had part in it, but he's the one that solidified the change of how salvation works and how we get saved, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and by grace through. We get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ by God's grace. That's how it is. And if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to. You need to bow your head and tell the Lord that you're putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Scriptures say, and that you believe, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came here on purpose, was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth. He went to the cross of Calvary on purpose. He was God in the flesh. Went to the cross of Calvary on purpose, was crucified. He died. He was buried 3 days. And he resurrected on the third day. and he gave witness and testimony that he was resurrected and alive, and many seen him, and about 40 days later, he ascended in front of a big company and went right back into heaven. The clouds received him, and he went right back into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of the Father right now, and waiting on the Father to tell him, say, you can go get your bride now. And that's when the Lord's going to come get us. Come get us. And that's not far off. It's not far off. A lot of people have been saying the Lord's coming, but, I mean, the Lord is coming. He's coming soon. Coming soon. So, next thing we're going to talk about is, what does death mean for the Christian? You say, Brother TV, every time you get one of these lessons, you're talking about death. We're going to know quite a bit about it here pretty soon, ain't we? Quite a bit about it, but it's scriptural death. It's scriptural things. Death for the Christian is not something that you need to fear. It's not something. It's all it is. Anytime you read about death in there and look up the word death, and you'll find that anybody that knows the Lord having to do with death, it's like the Lord calls it falling asleep and fell asleep. And he fell asleep. And it said they fell asleep and then went to be with the Lord. So, yeah, good stuff. So I appreciate you studying. This has been a good lesson to begin with. And we'll continue in the letter Z for Zion, your eternal home. And we'll talk about what does death mean for the Christian on the next recording. The Lord bless you and give you over and above and reward you for honoring Him and honoring His Word. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.